Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 17th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB. In this special edition of the podcast, we sit down with Mark Nirenberg, the chief operating officer for SimpleBet, to talk about the emerging new sector known as microbetting. The GGB podcast is sponsored by IGT, which is at the peak of excellence with an entire lineup of top-ranked gaming machines. Reach your peak of success at igt.com/peak. Mark Nirenberg began his career in finance before jumping into the world of fantasy sports a decade ago. He co-founded DraftStreet, which was eventually sold to DraftKings, where he went on to serve as Vice President of Game Operations and Development. Now as COO for SimpleBet, a micro-betting provider, he's looking to revolutionize the way sports bettors interact with the game. Essentially, SimpleBet's technology provides bettors with a new breed of fast-paced, incremental wagering options. Instead of betting on spreads or totals, users can now wager on individual at-bats, drives, or other quick outcomes. Nirenberg spoke about the future of micro betting with GGB managing editor Jess Marquez at G2E in Las Vegas in October.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast. My name is Jess Marquez. Pleased to be joined here on the G2E floor by Mark Nirenberg, COO of SimpleBet, a micro betting operator up and coming. Mark, how are you doing today? Thanks for joining me.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Someone like myself, who is not exactly entrenched in the sports betting industry, can you kind of explain micro betting and how it works as opposed to traditional markets for those like me who are a little bit unfamiliar?
Yeah. So micro betting is micro time framed in play betting. Okay. Historically, this hasn't been that big of a category overseas, but we think that it's going to be huge in the U.S. due to the sports and the cadence of the sports and the significance of these micro events within the sports. So every play and every drive in football, every pitch and every at-bat in baseball, there's a nice window to make a bet on the next big event that's going to happen. And on top of that, these micro events are things that fans are already talking about casually, socially. Like, they have opinions of the Patriots are going to stuff them on 3rd-and-1, or Kirk Cousins is definitely going to get sacked on this drive. You know, that's a little different than kind of engineering is there a goal in the next 2 minutes? Like, you know, so we think there's massive upside, and we're already seeing that for micro time frame wagering in the U.S.
So that kind of ties into my next question. So it sounds like football and baseball are kind of more conducive to the format. Is that kind of correct, or do you guys service all sports?
Yeah, so you're correct. We do 5 sports right now, MLB, NBA, NFL, and also college football and college basketball. So far, baseball is the best. It's perfect for micro betting. I mean, the numbers have just been crazy impressive this year so far. Football is close second, very conducive to micro betting. Basketball has been the tougher one to challenge. It's fast paced, it's fluid, but we're very optimistic about some of our plans for this year in basketball. We did have success in college basketball. We launched our own product, which we controlled end to end, collecting the data from in-venue all the way to delivering that to our customers. And so then we were able to offer markets for every basket of every game. So which team will score next, which type will be scored next, and the combination of the two. So the next basket will be a Badgers three-pointer. And we had a lot of traction with that. And now we're going to bring that along with some other cool markets to NBA this upcoming season.
Well, and it's, you know, right about now is probably like the golden time for you because you have baseball playoffs, which is like the perfect format for this. You know, every pitch is so important and every, you know, every moment is such a high leverage moment. And then you have the start of obviously NBA, NFL. So it's everything's kind of coming together. Kind of backing up a little bit, I kind of just jumped into it. But how long have you guys kind of been in the market? And, you know, can you give it like just a brief history of your guys' history?
Yeah, so SimpleBet was founded in 2018. and I joined as maybe like the 10th or 12th employee at the end of 2018. But when I joined, we were trying to do a whole lot of things, probably too much. We had a heavy focus on data science, and we really wanted to kind of solve or innovate for live betting. It was about halfway through 2019 when we really saw this opportunity for what we're calling micro betting now. We saw that it was probably being underestimated how popular it could be just due to the sports in the US, and how that had not been a focus for this industry historically, and how technically challenging it was to really execute and have these markets available at all times, so users know that they can go there and get bets in and they're not going to get rejected, or the markets are not going to be suspended. So we saw the user experience opportunity and the challenge, the technical challenge. And so that's when we went dead focused, started with just at bats. So just started with just betting on at bats, strikeout, home run, single, double, triple. And then obviously expanded across sports.
And, you know, without getting too technical in the weeds, what have been some of the biggest challenges that you've had to face, especially as you kind of expand your offerings?
It all starts with live data.
Okay.
So some of these live data feeds are pretty much powered by human entry.
Okay.
And there are errors. Sometimes the scouts will send the wrong 30-yard line, or they'll send a punt message before the fourth down message. That matters for the automation that we're doing. We need to know the exact state of the game at all times. So we got really good at having defensive logic and identifying all these edge cases to automatically know that that's wrong and correct, and always have the right match state at the right time. Then the other challenge is marrying that with fully powered machine learning models that can work in production and reprice and create markets with probabilities of all these outcomes. Dozens of markets are being created or repriced every pitch and every play. And so the modeling and the data science is one thing, but being able to have that run in real time, and then also having the infrastructure to retrain and optimize those models every day in production, instead of just doing it in a research framework and then trying to move that to production, that wasn't gonna work. So we've gotten really good at the machine learning aspect, machine learning engineering. And so that was kind of the other challenge.
And so how much would you say, I would imagine that, you know, you talk about how often you have to keep pace with this. The technology, I'm assuming, is moving at the speed of light. What is the role, at least like as we sit here now, what is the role of machine learning and AI in sports betting, but specifically for you guys? I know you kind of touched on it briefly, but I would imagine that that's been, you know, that's probably most of what your guys' challenges are, is dealing with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, that's the role. All our models are fully machine learning.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's machine learning engineering.
Gotcha.
Which is a little different than data science. You have to be, there's a coding aspect to it as well.
Gotcha.
And so, like I said, it's making those models run in real time. And, you know, so it's modeling under those constraints. Like, you might be able to make a little bit better model for at bat, you know, but having that work in real time isn't going to work. And then again, that infrastructure to continuously optimize those models and not have and streamline that and be able to do that very efficiently.
Gotcha. And one of the things that I was curious about when I was kind of researching you guys and just micro betting in general is, so let's say if I was, let's say for instance, I was an operator who came to you and said, so what is the benefits to micro betting as opposed to traditional, like, and instead of the way we've always done it, I put out the line, I put out the, you know, the run line, the overrunners and stuff like that. What is the benefit to me coming from an operator's perspective? What are some of the things that benefit micro betting as opposed to traditional?
Yeah, so starting with the users,
it's
that short feedback loop and on demand. I mean, that's where everything's going, right? So instead of, you know, aggressively sweating a 3-hour game, you know, you can jump in and out and bet on some plays and drives and then go do whatever else you want to do. So really for the users, it's that level of engagement, and for the operators beyond providing that engagement for their users, mm-hmm. it's a high turnover, good monetization, good margin, similar to iGaming, except what iGaming doesn't have is that this is built around an underlying entertainment that people are already engaged with. And so now you have a place where we haven't quite gotten there, but that's going to be in 2023. I think operators are going to be able to leverage micro betting as a top of funnel and get people where they're already engaged and they're already thinking about Aaron Judge is going to hit a home run. He's on deck right now. I'm going to get him this bet. Or even what we have is, oh, he's down 0-2 in the count. The odds just got much better for me. I'm gonna put it down on a home run. I think the benefit for the operator is to bring in a new profile and bring new users into the ecosystem.
And one thing you touched on earlier that I'm really curious about is you mentioned that it hasn't had much success overseas so far, as in microbetting. Could you talk a little bit about, you know, the history of that market and like some of the reasons why that is? Is that because the sports just aren't as conducive as American sports to the format, or?
Yeah, and I think it just hasn't been. It's this category that makes up a significant amount of handle or users for soccer. I mean, there are micro time frames that exist, and there are users that bet on it. It's just not on the level of what we are seeing in the U.S. Soccer's obviously the vast majority of sports betting volume globally. Tennis is a good one for micro time frames, mm-hmm. but you don't have, like I said, all these cool opinions about, you know, Derrick Henry's going to go for over 7.5 yards on his next carry, or, you know, they're going to get a sack. There's so many different things that people have opinions about. In tennis, it's like, are they going to win the point or not?
Yeah.
Which people like, but that's almost just more like iGaming,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's why I'm saying this is like iGaming, but on a whole new level where it's going to attract, it's already based on what people are already watching and thinking about and talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that really with European sports. I think cricket would be really good.
Mm-hmm.
I think golf would be huge, but we've had trouble getting access to that data from the official rights holders. I think I'm not sure what their plans are, but we've been trying to work with them. Golf would be the micro betting sport.
IGT is at its peak of excellence, with the Peak Slant 32 at its 20th consecutive month as the number one ranked multi-screen and the number one ranked large form factor Peak 65, and two new cabinets joining the Peak family of top performing hardware, IGT has a Peak gaming machine to fit any floor need. Designed for superior player comfort, modern sleek beauty, and proven performance, all six Peak cabinets stand out gorgeously on the casino floor. Reach your peak of success at igt.com/peak.
It seems to me also that, you know, the U.S. just has such a bigger infrastructure, like the, I guess you could say, like bandwidth, so to speak. Like, I feel like a lot of these smaller European markets may not have the everything in place to handle that sort of data and that sort of action. Is that, am I off there, or is that not really the case?
You mean just like technically advanced?
Well, I guess so, but in just the sense that, like, you know, say for instance, like in Romania, like would they have that sort of infrastructure in place to do that in an effective manner compared to like the U.S. market, which is so much more? You have some.
Yeah, you could do it. You could do it anywhere, and your tech can. Gotcha. Your tech can be based anywhere. You might need certain things on premise, but no, that you can do it. I don't think that's a problem at all.
Okay.
It's the sports.
Gotcha.
And it might be a bit of you know, this is a very mature industry, and you know, the focus, you know, we'll see if this goes really well, micro betting in the U.S. I think we will see globally more effort there. And by the way, we are live globally with the in-play leader, Bet365.
Really?
They're the global leader of in-play, and they came to us to do this for them. And so, yeah, I think we're going to see, we'll see how our sport, U.S. sports do there. The timing, the time zones are not great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think if we're having success here, you could see more investment into micro betting globally. And we want to be a big part of that.
Yeah, definitely. So just to kind of, wrap up with the bigger picture here, it's kind of a two-parter question. Is there anything kind of in the works upcoming that you can speak about? And similarly, what do your next 5 years look like and beyond? or maybe not 5 years. That's a kind of...
Let's go with two years. Yeah. So product-wise or partnership-wise?
Both. Either or. If there's anything that you are able to talk about, I'm a product guy, but
we'll start with the partnerships because it can lead into some of the product stuff. So... we recently partnered with Bet365 globally, and they are, like I said, the global leader of in-play.
Yep.
They've been beating their competition for the past decade in that area, who, by the way, also are kind of behind, FanDuel is Flutter and MGM is Entain, so maybe gets their attention a little bit. I also like that they're going to use our technology and micro betting in a different way than a DraftKings or an Intralot, or another big one we did is Better, where our founder, Joey Levy, partnered with Jake Paul, this big influencer, to kind of start this media and content powerhouse and really focus on reimagining the user experience and focusing on micro betting for that next generation. Mm-hmm. So then now they're using it in a very different way.
Yeah.
And then we have another operator with significant market share in the US that's integrating right now.
Okay.
And then another couple smaller operator integrations going on now. One where they're very big in Mexico. And then looking at 2023, there's a couple fantasy companies that are going to, one of them wants to use our product in a very social experience. One of them is going to create all these mini games around it.
Gotcha.
So when you talk about over the next 5 years, I think we want to evolve where we are an enabling platform for our customers to build on top of and differentiate, and we want them doing different things, and that's how we're going to have staying power, is if we're enabling others to innovate and differentiate as opposed to just everyone having the same thing. So we can do a lot on our end and start letting them leverage different pieces up. Maybe they just want to use our market predictions and figure out their own features they care about modeling with, or that make their own markets one day just using our technology. They're all definitely going to be doing their own different user experiences. That's like sort of the vision for the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what's big and new, I would just say the biggest thing is taking same game parlays and bringing those to micro time frames.
Yep.
Specifically drives and half innings.
Yep.
Like this half inning, there's going to be two strikeouts, Judge is going to hit a double, and there's going to be exactly five batters to the plate. We have all those singles. We've been building the singles on a path to being able to combine them and make really cool half inning parlays. Or yep. For same drive, it's going to be tough to do it live.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll be like, all right, the Chiefs are on defense right now. I'm going to start crafting my next Chiefs drive bet. So Mahomes is going to throw for 60 plus yards. He's going to get sacked once.
Mm-hmm.
Edwards-Alaire is going to rush once for over 20 yards and they'll kick a field goal. I mean, we're not going to have that exact example tomorrow.
Yeah.
But we'll start small, and that's where we're headed.
I'm that void. So, again, thank you very much, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for having me. We went out of a tonic. Some kind of solitude is measured out.
Hope you enjoyed this week's podcast sponsored by IGT, which is at the peak of excellence with an entire lineup of top-ranked gaming machines. Reach your peak of success at igt.com/peak. To learn more about microbetting and online sports betting, visit ggbmagazine.com. Subscribe to GGB News to get all the news of the gaming industry delivered to your desktop every Monday morning. Sign up at ggbnews.com and use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.